The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email. No, it's not time to go through listener email. It's time to go and play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. On this Friday, September the 17th, we've got four sound bites lined up to play for you from some of your favorite guests. Dr. Peter Bender, Is the Historic Liturgy Man-Made? Dr. Gene Edward Veith, talking about liberty, 9/11, and the pandemic. Soundbite number three is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, God's Answer to the Problem of Suffering, and Joshua Pauling with soundbite number four, How the Term Worship Center Gets Worship Wrong. Now, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're giving away the LPR bundle package. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's an Ad Crucem Baptism keepsake, and I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's soundbite number one, Pastor Peter Bender, Is the Historic Liturgy Man-Made?
Nothing could be further from the truth. If you look at the divine service, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy upon us, Christ have mercy upon us, Lord have mercy upon us. Those words are not invented by men. The prayer for mercy is the most often prayed prayer in the entire New Testament. The Gloria, glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why, that's the song of the angels sung at the birth of Christ. The Sanctus, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, or Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are biblical words. Isaiah's vision saw the heavens opened and the angels singing antiphonally one to another, holy, holy, holy. The Passover Psalm 118, Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm Sunday, that song is taken up by the pilgrims as they're receiving Jesus into Jerusalem. Anything but man-made. The Agnus Dei, John 1:29, you know, where John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Creed, it rests upon Peter's confession and that of the apostles in Caesarea Philippi, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that foundational confession throughout the New Testament, Jesus is Lord. So hardly man-made, all five of these texts, just the sweep of them, all five of them are biblical texts. The Holy Gospel for the day that we talked about, the words of institution, this is all God's word. The entire service is biblical.
That's soundbite number one, Pastor Peter Bender, Is the Historic Liturgy Man-Made? Now, you vote for that one by giving us a call live this Friday, September 17th, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also send us an email with your vote, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number two comes from Dr. Gene Edward Veith. We talked with him about liberty, 9/11, and the pandemic.
Yeah, it's really true when you look at history that when democracies face a national crisis, often the nations turn away from democracy. And you can see it over and over again. You can see it in ancient Greece. You can see it when the French Revolution turned to Napoleon, when the Weimar Republic turned away from its democracy and embrace Hitler, and you see it in Latin American countries and all over. A national crisis, people want safety. Not only that, they want the government to do something about it. And have to be very careful because in that climate, it's very easy for people to throw out their liberties and to throw out the rule of law and to empower government to be more powerful than ever. Now, in 9/11, a lot of things started about surveilling the public, in their effort to track down terrorists or people with terrorist sensibilities. And then we had the technology to do that, and a lot of that is still in place. We're seeing this again with COVID, again, another national emergency, where even more so than 9/11, basic human liberties such as religious freedom are being set aside. Not only that, but even the rule of law, as the presidents issue executive orders with a force of law to, for example, exercise control over private businesses, requiring businesses with 100 more employees to get vaccinated. What gives the government the authority over who a business can hire and who it has to fire? So it's often the end of liberal democracy when we respond to a national crisis. And again, we didn't learn that from 9/11, and now it's even intensifying with what we're going through today.
That's soundbite number two, Dr. Gene Edward Veith on liberty, 9/11, and the pandemic. You can vote for that one, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number three is Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, God's answer to the problem of suffering.
This is the question that I always want to ask to the people who bring that problem to us. Say, does the Bible say that the world should be without suffering? Does the Bible in any way present us the idea that life should be perfect in this world? I mean, absolutely not. From beginning to end, the Bible not only expects us to be living lives of suffering, but it explains why. I mean, it tells us about the fall into sin. It tells us about the world and the flesh and the devil. In our own age, we think, well, the big problem is suffering, and so we need to end suffering. But the only way we know to end suffering is to end the sufferer. So you come up with euthanasia and abortion and all sorts of murderous things. You end suffering by ending the sufferer. But the Lord's response, and this is an amazing thing to consider, is that he does not bring an end to the sufferer, but he becomes one himself. The Lord's response to the so-called problem of suffering is to take up the cross and to go to Golgotha and to writhe there under the wrath of God, to take what we should get so that he can give us what we never deserved. And in this we see that the Lord has dealt with the problem of suffering, not by ending suffering or ending the sufferer, but taking it upon himself, which is, it's something you could never expect. You could never guess that, but how astonishing.
That's soundbite number three, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, God's answer to the problem of suffering. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to play soundbite number four, and afterwards we'll take a break, and that break is a great time to call 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's soundbite number four, Joshua Pauling, how the term worship center gets worship wrong.
When I hear this term worship center, I can't help but think of a similar lexical shift in recent years from the library to the media center. Or all of the other things that have the word center at the end, right? Shopping centers, recreation centers, fitness centers, medical centers, on and on we could go. And I don't think this is really what we want people to subconsciously associate with church through the use of this term worship center. It's a language that sort of demotes church or desacralizes church into the register of the everyday and brings with it unintended overtones of something sort of transactional. It even gets worse when you couple the two together. Not only do we have sort of this everyday concept of a center, but because so many people, especially in American Christianity, assume worship is primarily an act of man, when you put the two words together, it's as if the worship center is a place where humans come to perform their work for God in a mechanistic way. And this really reeks of the law, and really inverts the ancient worship paradigm in which God was understood as the primary actor in worship, delivering his son's gifts of forgiveness and life through word and sacrament, which then we receive gratefully by faith. church is not a transactional exchange of human effort where we try to praise and appease an egocentric God in the sky. Right? Instead, church is God's service to mankind through the work of his Son and the means of grace which connect us together. And so this term worship center, I think, really obscures this reality of what actually occurs in the church service.
That's soundbite number four, Joshua Pauling, how the term worship center gets worship wrong. Those are the four soundbites. Now it's your turn. It's time to call and vote for one of them to be soundbite of the week. Will it be soundbite number one, Pastor Peter Bender, is the liturgy man-made? Soundbite number two, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, Liberty, 9/11, and the pandemic? Soundbite number three, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, God's answer to the problem of suffering? Or soundbite number four, Joshua Pauling, how the term worship center gets worship wrong? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Mondays black, Tuesday, Wednesday, hard to tell. Thursday, never looking back, it's Friday, I'm in love.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you ever attended a funeral and not known what to say? Or perhaps you did think of something to say and it was the wrong thing to say? Funerals are a regular part of life. As you age, they become even more common as your friends and family members pass through the veil of death. The September issue of the Lutheran Witness will help you think through funerals, your own and the others you attend. It will guide you through what to say at a funeral and how to plan your own. To purchase a copy, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Time for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday, September the 17th. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Phone call voters get to vote first, and the listener with the best vote gets the LPR bundle package, an Ad Crucem baptism keepsake, and I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Let's go first to Wisconsin, where Sarah is on the line. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I want to vote for soundbite number one, Pastor Bender. There are a lot of reasons. First of all, I'm really enjoying that series. But even before that series, I've just learned to love the liturgy, in part, I think, because in Lutheran Service Book, the fact that the liturgy comes straight out of the scriptures is very clearly marked. I mean, every passage is referenced in the liturgy. And I'm not sure if that was always the case in our Lutheran hymnody, I mean, hymnals, but I do know it's the case now, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate Pastor Bender, you know, just really encouraging the liturgy as a source of knowledge of the scriptures and a great way, really, for Lutherans to just face up to the reality of what we have in the liturgy rather than try to do something better.
Sarah, thank you very much for your vote, and thanks for listening in Wisconsin. Theodore listens in Kansas. Hi, Theodore.
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm picking soundbite number 3, Brian Wolfmiller. Not only does he agree with me, although that's probably the worst possible reason, but he consistently drives directly away from the theology of glory, doesn't just sweep suffering under the rug, but drives toward the theology of the cross. In the incarnation, he dives into humanity's suffering and embodies it. While our suffering has not gone away, as neither has our succumbing to sin, we're not alone. The bigger picture is that of all of time's suffering, it finds itself dealt with eternally in Christ and grants enduring hope toward the resurrection.
Theodore, thank you very much, and thanks for listening there in Kansas. Scott listens in Indiana. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I'm going to vote for number 1, Pastor Bender. I really have appreciated that 4-part series. In my opinion, you missed a good soundbite in that first one where he was comparing the beginning part of the service in a contemporary service and in our divine service from LSB. The comparison was just unbelievable. I recently transferred my membership to a congregation that is definitely more liturgical, and his comments about the worship service coming directly from the Word of God is just, I mean, it's so obvious and it's so good. It is truly the divine service. So I vote for number 1, Pastor Bender.
Scott, thank you so much. Thanks for listening there in Indiana. In Russellville, Arkansas, Rick is on the line. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Pastor Wilkin. Well, I wanted to agree with your previous caller, Theodore, that soundbite number 3 is my favorite soundbite this week. Pastor Wolfmuller did a wonderful job reminding us that indeed we are not alone in our suffering. Suffering does happen, and unfortunately it happens a lot. However, we are reminded by Pastor Wolfmuller here that Christ shared with us in our suffering, taking our humanity upon himself and then going to the cross and dying for us. That's all. Thank you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Arkansas. Let's talk with David in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, David.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. Yeah, I also vote for soundbite number 3, Pastor Wilkin, on suffering, since, you know, it is absolutely the truth that we will have suffering in this world, just as whether it be disability, whether it be whatever. But it's not the fact that our Lord will wipe everything away just by saying poof. He suffers with us. He does. His power is shown through having mercy, giving us poor, miserable sinners what we don't deserve by coming into the flesh, by becoming poor that we may become rich, that he may suffer, that we may be healed of our sin, and on the last day, we who are raised to eternal life will receive the everlasting glory, including our healed bodies and everything else that goes along with us. Therefore, we seek first his kingdom by his grace, and we will have everything with that in his time.
David, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Fort Wayne. Here's a vote from the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
Jace from Missouri, my vote goes to Dr. Veith. When we are willing to give up our freedoms, our liberty, especially to worship as we feel we ought, then we are being of the world as well as in the world. And that, in my understanding, is very wrong. Where would we be if Jesus had opted for safety and comfort and all the Christian martyrs, past, present, and future, if they failed to witness for their faith by giving in. We need to be focused on heaven rather than this world. Thank you.
And thanks for your vote. Meredith in Huntersville, North Carolina. I have two reasons for voting for Pastor Bender's soundbite. First, I have enjoyed his series on the theology of worship and especially like part four and its focus on the divine service. Second, while searching for a little more info about Pastor Bender, I came across a video of him singing the national anthem at Wrigley Field. I grew up in central Illinois and I'm old enough to remember WGN broadcasts of Cubs games on hot summer afternoons. That clinches it. Soundbite number one wins. I enjoy listening to something each day at Issues, Etc. Thank you for your informative, high-quality broadcast. And thanks for your vote, Meredith. Stephen listens in Clemson, South Carolina. He says, my vote is for Joshua Pauling. Growing up in Pentecostalism, our church briefly dropped the denominational name and attached worship center instead. The motivation, the idolatry of church growth. Unsurprisingly, it didn't work out. Steve, thanks for listening in South Carolina. Kevin listens in Connecticut, Pastor Wolf Miller, number three, because in asking his questions, he gets to the root of so many issues we see in the world around us. Kevin, thanks for listening in Connecticut. Barb listens in Coal Camp, Missouri. I vote for Pastor Bender in soundbite number one. I appreciate our liturgy that is solidly based in biblical text, and I love to be reminded of that. I find comfort and reassurance in the liturgy of our church, knowing that the words that we say and sing now have been on the lips of generations of saints. A very good thought there, Barb, and thanks for listening in Missouri. Joe listens in Cleveland. He says, I vote for soundbite number one. The Lord's Prayer is given to us by God himself, and we hold it in high regard. In the same way, the historic liturgy uses that same word and often in the same tongue. Praying the Agnus Dei in repetition is useful in a time of need, and I've prayed through it in many troubles. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on me. Joe, thanks for listening in Cleveland. Mark listens in New Mexico. You have once again given us four great sound bites, all of which deal with common misconceptions that we encounter in the world and in the church, misconceptions about suffering, freedom, the handling of crisis, and the nature of what happens in the church. As he often does, God be praised, Pastor Wolf Miller provides a sound bite that acts as a hinge pin for the collection of sound bites. He reminds us of how God dealt with us with suffering by Jesus becoming a sufferer for us, taking our cross, our suffering, on himself for us. He serves us his way, and is actively the center of the church, as we see in the divine service, rather than the church constructing a center for activity by which we entertain God in our way. Our Lord responds to crises, suffering, and all of our needs, and is wonderfully different and distinct from what we come up with. God's thoughts and ways are not ours. They are higher than ours, to paraphrase Isaiah 55:8-9. Though I'd like to vote for all four this week, I vote for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's soundbite. Mark, thanks for listening there in New Mexico. We have a vote from Joseph in Wisconsin. He says, for soundbite of the week, I'm voting for soundbite one. Oftentimes, people say the divine service is man-made, but Pastor Bender points out how wrong that is by bringing out many places where we are received through the various biblical texts. Contrast this with contemporary worship, where that is completely man-made, especially with our Reformed friends. They throw out the entire liturgy, they have a band play for 30 minutes, and then have a pastor preach for 30 to 60 minutes. I know that I'm getting onto a soapbox topic, but the praise band often manipulates our emotions into being happy and sad and ecstatic and contemplative, etc., where the traditional hymns give us comfort of what God gives us and soundly grounds us in the faith. Without the liturgy, you eventually feel empty because there's so little ground for you in the faith. If, or rather since, the liturgy has been given to us by God, it makes it so much easier to worship each week. It's so much easier to follow along. If you are in another country or speaking a different language, it makes it so much easier if you have small children then you need to attend and cannot hold a hymnal. If a church changes the liturgy, it makes it so hard to follow along and participate. My children are able to follow along, even though not all of them can read. Joseph, thanks for your vote, and thanks for listening in Wisconsin. And here's a vote from Angela. She says, hi, thanks for all that you do. I really enjoy your show. My vote is for the fourth soundbite regarding the worship center. This is an American tragedy of Burger King theology. Too many people want worship their way. But growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Angela, thanks for your vote. Here's the winner for this week's Soundbite of the Week. Soundbite number one, Pastor Peter Bender is the historic liturgy man-made.
Nothing could be further from the truth. If you look at the divine service, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy upon us, Christ have mercy upon us, Lord have mercy upon us. Those words are not invented by men. The prayer for mercy is the most often prayed prayer in the entire New Testament. The Gloria, glory be to God on high and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why, that's the song of the angels sung at the birth of Christ. The Sanctus, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, or Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are biblical words. Isaiah's vision saw the heavens opened and the angels singing antiphonally one to another, holy, holy, holy. The Passover Psalm 118, Hosanna, save us now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm Sunday, that song is taken up by the pilgrims as they're receiving Jesus into Jerusalem. Anything but man-made. The Agnus Dei, John 1:29, you know, where John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Creed, it rests upon Peter's confession and that of the apostles in Caesarea Philippi, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that foundational confession throughout the New Testament, Jesus is Lord. So hardly man-made, all five of these texts, just the sweep of them, all five of them are biblical texts. The Holy Gospel for the day that we talked about, the words of institution, this is all God's word. The entire service is biblical.
That's the winner of Soundbite of the Week this week. Pastor Peter Bender is the liturgy man-made. Thanks to everybody who voted. Meredith in North Carolina and Rick in Arkansas. You guys get the LPR bundle package. Send us your mailing address and your shirt size. Talk back at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month this month, September, is a devotional resource from the pen of Pastor Matt Richard called Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. You can find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Browse before you buy right there, or just call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Minute Messages, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for September, 1-800-325-3040. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss St. Michael and All Angels with Pastor Will Whedon. We'll talk with Pastor David Disson about being a Lutheran vicar during the Cuban Revolution. And we'll get a review of the movie Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings with Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, September 24th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets by calling 618-633-2202. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Ernst Heating and Cooling, Alton Memorial Hospital, Vallow Floor Coverings, and Seavers Equipment. Oktoberfest, Friday night, September 24th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, 618-633-2202.